Any citizens' comments? None? All right. We have minutes for correction approval, February 1st, 2022.
I'm good.
I'm good.
All right.
And then new business, EDC 2022-14 building permit reports for January and February of 2022. Mr. Rados.
In January, we had 14 single-family detached homes. We did not have single-family attached homes. Seven commercial permits, those were all for the most part miscellaneous, remodels, stuff like that. Coles was one of those. So, yeah, that's about it for January.
Very nice. Any questions? Correct. EDC 2022-15 building inspection reports for January and February 2022. Mr. Raiders again.
All right. In January, we ended up doing 481 inspections. For February, we did 427. It was actually we were kind of surprised that we were down so much, but I think it was more the weather that was keeping you guys out. We had a little more. It wasn't so much the snow, it was just like a moisture.
Yeah.
You know, we had our superintendents complaining about not being able to get you guys out working, so I believe it. Take a little break here.
Perfect. Anybody else? Comments, questions? All right. EDC 2022-16, property maintenance report for January and February 2022. Mr. Raiders again.
All right. In January, we only heard three hearings. Both those were honeysuckle issues. 431, that's one that's been a problem in that area. Fiscal year 2023 budget proposal.
I don't have anything specific to go over, but if anybody has questions about anything in the budget and or specifically related to economic community development, we're happy to talk through those either now or later. ERP finance. Yeah. Whenever we get around to it among our other millions of projects that are happening. So quickly getting unwieldy, if you can't tell. So yeah, the amount of growth and just things going on, it's very busy. So,
so on that with budget, there is some new staffing included in it, which will help make some of the other around here a little easier, correct?
For police, yes.
Do you have anything this year in our EDC for inspection staff?
Nothing new. We did mid-year last year, we increased one inspector and plan reviewer, basically. And then we shifted some other people around so that there's more administrative help in the basement, too. So, so that's, I guess, new-ish, but it's not new to fiscal year 23 in that there's a bump to it.
We're still continuing with our outsourced consulting for reviews on the bigger ones.
We've looked at it and our parks reviewed all the numbers to hire enough inspectors to handle the overflow and sending out of house. I think that was like 3 more inspectors on top of our current staff.
Yeah.
As of right now, pay scales are high, so to get a senior level inspector right now, you're $8,000 for the paycheck.
I only have positive things actually that I heard, so.
Mostly positive. I mean, there are always hang-ups on individual projects for whatever reason, some of which did involve outsourced work, but we were able to pretty quickly resolve those when they came up. So.
Yeah, we got it here at my level, so everything was positive. Yep. All my hands
Yeah. And along that line, I know we've got Bright Farms coming up here in the next month here, and they've got their building permit fee requests. I mean, we just completed the survey of surrounding towns today. We're actually on the low side of what other places are charging. So, you know, we'll probably still make some sort of recommendation related to Bright Farms for the fees, but I mean, a total waiver is probably not warranted through external comparability or the amount of time that we're gonna have to spend on it. So, and I did tell Sean that actually just a few minutes ago. So we're working through that here upcoming, but and I'm giving away a little bit of the, you know, the upcoming agenda item, but I think we surveyed 8 towns, everywhere from Aurora to Joliet to Plano, Sugar Grove, some of the smaller ones, and there were towns that, based on what Bright Farms would be bringing in, is, you know, $1.5 million, you know, for permit fees. So whether or not they would reduce those is a different story, but that's what's in the code, and that really isn't out of line. So a lot of places are doing 1% of construction value or whatever, and in that case, you know, if we were doing that here, we're looking in the $900,000 range, you know, based on what they're bringing us. So
that's good. As long as we cover our costs, that's the important thing.
Yep.
That's what the fees are supposed to do, is cover that cost.
Right. Any other questions on that or concerns, comments? All right, moving on.
EDC 2022-19, Aging in Community, Aging in a Changing Region. This is the proposed MOU for 3 workshops and technical planning document regarding aging in community concept.
Okay. This proposal came about, I was a member of CMAC's Housing and Land Use Committee, and that committee had different presentations, and one of the presentations was from representative about a pilot program that they were getting grant money to facilitate communities in actually analyzing their current aging population needs, providing recommendations, engaging the public in some workshops, and then turning around a small but compacted report on steps that the community can do to improve that cycle of life with residents. So they weren't just reaching out to those that were seniors, but also youth, as well as parenting age groups, because these are all the groups that you would hope will continue to stay within the community and have a place to engage and a place to live. So as part of that, this pilot program was a collaborative with CMAP and Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus, and they facilitated this kind of cohort of communities that they wanted to reach out to. So staff applied. The first group of 4 holds, 4 courts completed their projects in 2021. So this is the second round. I don't know if it's going to be the final round, but it's the second round. So staff wanted to one of the community's outcomes was they received a technical grant from CMAP to address some of the outcomes of the report from the agent in community research. So I'm not going to belabor this a little bit. I do have two representatives that are on Zoom, Brad and Kyle Smith. They want to do a brief little presentation, less than 5 minutes of the program, so that they can address some of your questions before we decide if we want to move forward engaging in this project.
Oh, great. Thank you. Before I begin talking, I just want to confirm that those in person can hear me okay. Excellent. It's always hard to tell in a hybrid meeting setting, so I appreciate that. My name is Kyle Smith. I'm the Director of Housing and Community Development with Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus. We are joined by our partner in the Aging and Changing Region program, Brad Winnick of Planning Aging, and we have a third partner, CMAP, Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning, in the program as well. I'm going to be very honest. I think Christy did an excellent job describing what we do, and so at least my part of the presentation may be a little redundant, but nonetheless, we're really pleased to be here within the Mayor's Caucus since 2019, so for about 3.5 years. Communities, including Yorkville, had been convening to discuss various strategies to help make their community more livable places for their older adults, whether it's considering where seniors live or how they may age in their own home, how they get around, the park space and community programming available to them, or other factors related to health and well-being. We've been convening fairly regularly as a place where towns and their officials and leaders to share those strategies with one another. In 2020, we began to realize, though, that there was no technical assistance resource in our region for those communities that were interested in doing so, other than sharing with one another, which of course becomes very effective. The Mayor's Caucus and as well as CMAP approached planning aging. And we jointly secured resources with the Retirement Research Foundation to provide this assistance free of charge. It's very much a service that we're able to provide to those who were involved with their organization. It's a multi-phase program overall. The core activity are workshops, which are what everyone knew about in the Brad leads. And before I turn it over to Brad, I will say that we believe that the 5 towns we worked with last year in 2021 were hugely successful endeavors in those communities, and we'd be very pleased to work with Yorkville as well.
Well, I guess this is where you're turning it over to me.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, hybrid meetings are so much fun. Actually, I'm going to really just reiterate what Kyle started with, which is that Christy did a really good job at putting in the packet a lot of the material that we put together, including there's a short PowerPoint presentation in the packet, which thankfully I'm not going to try to show to you because you've already gotten it to look at, which really kind of encapsulates kind of a summary of the first year, some of the lessons learned from the 5 communities with whom we engaged in 2021. At the point that Christy included it, 3 of them had gone through putting together a final deliverable document that was the deliverable we handed over to the municipality. Since then, we've got a 4th, which is again available on the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus website. The 5th is literally days away from being complete. And if you do decide to engage and work with us, which you'd be delighted to have happen, the process is that we would like to engage with a small core team, assuming that it's going to be Christy, perhaps a couple of others. I think the experience from the first year has taught us that the core team can be very different from one municipality to the other. But if we were to offer our advice, 2 to 4 people would be a nice workable number. I think it would be ideal if the core team represented a kind of a little bit of a range of who is engaged or should be engaged in kind of policy planning for Asian community within Yorkville. So if it were to be municipal staff, my recommendation would perhaps reflect different departments or different agencies, rather than having multiple people within the same department. The core team can include elected officials, it can include citizen representatives, but really that's up to you. Once the core team is identified, I would be kind of the primary contact. I would schedule and convene, a group of meetings with the core team where we would identify, specific goals that you'd like to see come out of this program. What Yorkville will choose to do will be, I will guarantee you only one thing, and that will be that it will be different from what any of the communities in the 2021 cohort identified as their goals. Once we, identify goals, I would try to learn what I needed to be able to help stage and convene the 2 workshops. The workshops can be very different, and obviously we'll rely on Christy and the core team to give us your best thoughts as to who would be the target audience for the workshops. It could be residents, it could be older adult residents, it could be all residents, it could be municipal staff, it could be elected officials, it could be other key stakeholders, sister agencies. We could do the 2 workshops with the same target audience, or they could have different audiences. We would prepare and give you and rely on the core team to help ensure that everybody we ask completes the work. We're going to ask you to do a bit of an internal assessment so that you can get a little bit of a sense of where you stand at the moment. And it's going to be the workshops, it's going to be the facilitated conversation that I promise you I will engage everybody who comes to the workshop in a discussion as to where Yorkville is, what Yorkville aspires to see in the Asian community element of its future. And frankly, it's not something that we would envision in a vacuum. We try to link it to other municipal priorities, and if you identify certain issues, challenges, opportunities, we try to link that to Asian community so that it's not another, set of priorities that would be, placed upon you. Try to link it with everything else. And the deliverable, we've got, links to several of them. We're invited to use any of them. They're designed to be short and usable. The deliverables are way shorter than the packet that you're reviewing for this meeting. So the deliverables we produced for the other municipalities have been in the 20-page range. 1-page executive summary, something that's really usable, designed to be of value and of use, and kind of a strategic guide, which is what we're calling it. They're not full-blown plans. The strategic guides that can work with and to augment some of the things we're already doing, and some suggestions of things that might fit well with some of those and perhaps support or to elevate Asian community. I think our 5-8 minutes are up, so I think I should stop now. Christy, is this when you ask for conversation and questions?
Yes, I just
want to
end with this would be the first project before we re-engage in a funding in the prior comprehensive plan for 2016, which has a 10-year lifespan, recommended that we do focus more on the aging population in our community. So this would be a good entryway document to get a foundation to the new direction of our comprehensive plan update for 2026.
Perfect. You guys have questions, comments, concerns?
My first question was, how will it talk into the comprehensive plan? And that answer would be that.
What's that?
It's a new one.
I have a couple. What type of grants are we looking at potentially once you complete it? And then secondly, I know that in the summary of the memo you put in, you talked to other communities that have done this as well. What were the outcomes? I know it was positive, but do you have any specific details of some of the outcomes with other communities that went through this and what their thoughts were?
So I can answer the first part of that. We won't know what grants are available until we find out what the identified goals are. So if we do identify goals, there are probably other grants that are out there, technical assistance grants from CMAP, as another community had, or even if there's anything that the retirement research foundation of aging can direct us to.
Is there any coordination or collaboration with the county on this for some of their services that they provide?
I would anticipate that the county would either be part of a workshop or if we had a person from the county that was interested in being part of a core team.
And then senior services?
Definitely.
Part of our services? They work independently mm-hmm. with us.
And parks and recreation.
They're probably CAT. We'll have the county, but.
Yeah, part of the county.
So do we have like three bullet points of good positive takeaways from other surrounding cities that have used this as well?
Brad,
I don't think they can hear me, sorry.
With the county, that they just very, very recently completed their workshops and gotten their deliverables. Some of the early action items that we've seen in a couple of municipalities have been of the structural nature, recommendations to do things like set up a standing aging communities commission to kind of be the municipality's partner going forward in this type of work has been the sort of thing that they have picked up upon. A number of municipalities have become quite clear to us that information of existing resources was very scattered in terms of where it was located and what people knew about resources that were available to them. So we suggested such things as establishing a single resource depository or having events such as an older adult resource event that might dovetail on some existing events. So those sort of things are kind of the lower hanging fruit. We also have made some structural suggestions such as the identification and publicizing of an aging community liaison in many of the municipal departments that deal with the population. So to make it easier and more transparent for residents to, particularly older residents who may have difficulty navigating the website or might know who to contact. So the structural things have been earlier action items. We have thrown in some more, deeper challenges like reevaluation of some of the zoning ordinances that we felt were not adequately supportive of some of their stated goals of supporting the community. As you can imagine, those sorts of things aren't going to be the kind of quick action items, but we've identified some of those type of items and transportation assessments as well. I think that's probably the answer at the moment.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
I think you answered it well, Brad. I won't follow you. I'll just look the next one down.
All right, any other questions?
Just so
Would you be able to do the work from this current staff, or?
Oh, absolutely. Current staff, the standing committee or the little group that we would form, it would be, you know, about two or three internal meetings that we would have as the core team. And then it's typically done remotely. Then we can, you know, meet if there's anything else we need to do. We plan out the workshops. There will be two workshops staff will attend. And then after that, staff's participation would do the assessment, self-assessment. Is then done, and then it's over to Brad and his
okay.
team to complete. So it's about a 3-4 month timeline.
Is the city do interns or?
We don't have any
needed extra help.
Yeah, we don't have any currently. There's the possibility of two high school students joining us for like 5 hours a week. This would be something that if we had an intern, you know, they would assist with for sure.
That's what I thought.
Okay. Are there any goals that we'd like to actually come out of this, aside from paying these to these upcoming comprehensive plan? Are there objectives that we've already set as from the staff level?
We have some sight lines that we would like to address, but I wouldn't say specific goals at this point. It would not do me any favors to put those goals out until I hear from the actual community, because what I need to do is not to be needed out there as much.
All right. Moving on, EDC 2022-20, Regalage Wellness, Winfield Farms PUD rezoning.
Okay, so if you notice there are two items on the agenda that are related to this. There's Regalage, which is the rezoning, and then text the actual annexation amendment for Woodville Farms related to this. So I will start with the rezoning. The petitioner is Dawn Graves. She is part of Regalage Wellness, which is a that provides services, therapeutic, clinical type services. Therapeutic in nature in an office-based setting. They stumbled upon this property right now that is being utilized as residential homes, about 900 square feet, and it's on Route 126. They approached the city because they wanted to utilize that facility as a new third location for their offices, and we informed them that this property was part of the Woodville Farms. The PUD is not, it was approved in 2008. It never moved forward. The parcels were never final platted. However, the city did approve a concept plan as well as an annexation agreement on the property and rezoned the property to the now defunct PUD zone. So, in order for this particular property owner, who is now under contract to buy the home, to utilize it for office use, the underlying land uses within the Windmill Farms PUD were commercial and multifamily residential, but it had a zoning that no longer exists. So in order for this property to back out of the obligations under that plan, which no one is moving forward, there's about 13 parcels. Development, they need to amend the annexation agreement to remove them as a parcel from the original PUD and then rezone. So they are seeking a rezoning to B3, which is consistent with all the surrounding land uses. If you look at, there's a map in the packet that shows the zoning. About 75% of the properties in this area are zoned B3, and that includes two parcels that were purchased by Highview Landscaping in 2019 that the city approved the same process and rezoned for commercial or landscaping and greenhouse business. Those properties still remain vacant. So the comprehensive plan does envision this property for a state conservation residential, and that was due to the fact that the Horizon plan was 10 years, and this was kind of a holding classification for those properties that had some type of encumbrance by their plan or property would be adequately parked, there's enough parking on the site, and that setbacks will be met. There is a setback on 126 of 50 feet, and right now, from the actual structure, it's about 26 feet from the property line, but from the roadway, they were compliant until there was construction work on 126. The roadway is about 50 feet, so they would visually meet that setback. Utilities are not near this property, so they could be utilizing well and septic, but at the time that water and sewer does become available, then 250 feet would be required to connect. And finally, access is plentiful on this site. They have no access to 126 and Woodland Road, and staff is supportive of the rezoning. The property under being purchased by Brooker Lodge right now would not undergo any redevelopment, but in the future they may look to expand or to redo the parking area. Dawn is here. She is the applicant. If you have any questions for her, otherwise this project is scheduled to go to next week's planning and zoning commission for a public hearing.
Questions, comments, concerns?
Question on setback. So you did comment that visually it appears the same, but we don't define setbacks by visual. So
correct.
It would not be compliant with the setback. It's just that
it would be legally non-conforming.
Legally non-conforming as we
right. So they could increase along that setback, but they could do additions as long as we can maintain the new setback.
So they could probably go to, I guess that would be conservative to the west.
Yes.
Would that be a concern if the state wants to widen 71 there or 126?
126.
Yeah, like any of these other
teams. Yes.
Yep.
It would render it legally non-conforming again.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they would be, by our code, allowed to maintain that property as is, unless and until it is destroyed more than 50%, then it would have to be rebuilt and come to the new standards.
Since we're changing zoning, it's a gravel parking area, or is it actually
no,
parking?
It's actually asphalt.
Okay.
It's asphalt.
Because I was wondering when they had the trucks there, they improved it.
Yeah, I think over the years they have improved it, but it's asphalt, and the actual home structure has been updated. So the original structure was built in 1949, so they did modern renovations.
Questions.
Proved a lot of stuff from Lost Corners. It'd be nice if something actually happened.
Yeah, right, yeah, I agree. All right. Moving on. EDC 2022-21, Windmill Farm Second Amendment to the Annexation Agreement.
So, as I said, this is just an amendment where we're carving out that one parcel, that 1.1 acre parcel, from the overall Windmill Farms. PUD, there were 13 parcels that made up this 91 acre site, and we're slowly chipping away. We never were able to get all of the property owners at one time to come in to repeal the annexation agreement. So it was a recommendation of the city attorney back in 2019 when we started this process with Highway to just go individually and remove those parcels from the annexation agreement. So there's a draft of amendment to the annexation agreement. There's a public hearing that will occur next week at City Council on April 12th. And we are also in talks with the church, Restore Church, to they own about three parcels on the site to also come in and to do this process. So then we'll be left with less than three or less parcels to move forward. I don't anticipate the other parcels to move forward at this time because they would need to rezone. If they don't have a future user, it would not be in their benefit to rezone until they know what the property would be built for. But we'll be working our way through this entanglement of ordinances that are burdening these properties from redevelopment.
All right.
to each of the units that were to be finished or to be started and completed. So unit three had originally been approved by the city and had been built upon, but the new owner, Troy Burks, has a new product that they want to put in for the town on the city unit three. And in trying to fit the new product onto the site, there were some changes that needed to be made as far as variances for setbacks. Those variances per the annexation agreement and per our current code could be done administratively. So they have an application in process to address some of the overhangs of setbacks that range between 1 and 3 feet on three parcels, three lots that we have currently reviewing. The city administrator has the ability to approve those. So this request is because of the adjustment of the property, they do increase the units from the originally 60 approved townhomes to 61, and the interior building lines are shifting. So that is why the final plat approval is amendment is required to approve the new product. The engineer and the property owner are here tonight if you have any questions. The staff did a detailed analysis, which I'll go over, but it's in the packet that shows that the de minimis increase of that one unit does not change the overall density of the approved plan, and the building setbacks do shift. They're decreasing a little bit in change, and some areas they do increase. When we address that as part of the internal minor PUD. There were some architectural standards in the original annexation agreement, and the owner has been gracious enough to provide their proposed elevations and also make changes to the plan for staff's comments. So they have included a couple of the requested architectural design elements to the plan to add some variety of interest in the proposal. They are going to provide those for us for review as part of the building permit process. So I'll make sure they're consistent, and then we will approve those as part of the building permit review. There's the proposed final plat is going to be for our city engineer, and they have no comments. They have addressed the comments that were made, and they're going to move forward to pieces as well.
Perfect. Questions? Comments? Concerns? I think it was very detailed.
So I know the architecture is not our purview for this one, but within their controls, you're asking for two out of the five items that are in the list to be included. My question is, will the architecture be complementary to what's there or an enhancement to what is there?
So staff's estimation, yes. So they've identified the two, I think they did three of the five that were proposed. They provided the shake-style siding onto the side elevation of the building, the top quarter. They are doing transom windows for the two doors, the interior of the four or five units. And then there was another change. No, you didn't do the planters. I don't remember what it was, but it was another change, and it was not actually part of our list. It was something else that we did that made the units look very nice. And I think they are consistent with what is in the
Yeah. Thank you, Kristen, very much for putting the package together and for your hard work and detailed explanation. And just an introduction, my name is Troy Burns, and I've owned Bristol Bay since 2018. Bart was here as an administrator at the time when I made the purchase, and I've just owned the property for 4 years, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity of getting started out here. The townhome product is something I'm currently building in Antioch and Gilbert, Illinois, so it's a similar plan. It was a little bit wider, of a product, so that's why some of the lines were shifting, and nothing's going to fit perfect. But that's pretty pretty much speaks to where we are. The final architectural plans we've presented, some preliminary, are due here in a week or so. I think we're going to get everything finalized and buttoned down for staff to review and just to confirm that that's, we showed a substantial portion of what I think was part of the planning analysis.
There was one spot that I noticed on the plat where there was a setback that did not seem to be noted. It appears to be, I think it was unit 115, where it is grossly encroaching on the 20-foot setback. It's a corner unit. That one I'd like you guys to check on before that comes forward, because that seems like it's only maybe 4 or 5 feet from the pavement. So our problems are the right one. But those are private things.
Those are private.
Yeah, so it's actually from the pavement. So I just would like you to check that one, because that seems like that may be one of the places where it's a significant change above and beyond what we're looking at in terms of change here. It seems to be going either within the 3% level of administrative fee or these minor deviations.
You said unit 115?
Yeah, lot 40.
Lot 4. Okay.
I can come up with an introduction, by the way. This is
David Schultz, HR Green. I will definitely look into that, Chris. What I possibly might be going on there with an end unit, the footprint.
It could not be a jog, as long as the product fits without any encroachments or a acceptable encroachment.
And those lots do overlap the building setbacks.
Exactly. So, okay.
I'll look that. No new rules.
I'm sure Chris will get back to me, but thank you.
I will. Thank you.
All right, moving on. EDC 2022-23, Bristol Bay Unit 13, final plats.
So this is a one of the units that never had a start of lot or had been subdivided. Actually, there was a approved subdivision, final plat, back in 2006, but it was never reported. Per our ordinance, if it's not reported within a calendar year, then it is considered null and void, and the person has to submit. So they are resubmitting. This 25-acre parcel will include 69 single-family lots. I'm sorry, 69 lots consisting of 68 single-family units. And there's an actual park lot, which is about a little over 3 acres as well. The lots are under contract with NBR. They are the parent company of Bryant Homes, who is also doing construction in the city. And they would like to move forward by subdividing as part of the approval for the annexation agreement. They are to provide a $50,000 payment to the Parks Department for parkland cash fee for lot 1685 fire station. And that has to occur prior to the recording of the final plat. So in your packet, there is the individual lots that are proposed and the roadways in there. When Pulte did leave the site, they did most of the underground public improvements, so some sanitary sewers, stormwater, and water main. But there is additional underground that needs to take place as part of this process, and they are working with our city engineer to finalize those final engineering plans. They did submit as part of our planning council meeting. There were comments generated from the PI that were provided March 7th, and the petitioner has begun to address those. So we are moving forward to proceeding with this next week's planning zone commission as well. That is not a public hearing, it's just a public meeting.
Questions? Well, I'm happy, as long as it's not the original Centex architecture.
Yes. Can I speak?
Sure.
Sure. Go ahead. Can you state your name?
Yes. My name is Kenneth. I'm actually a homeowner in Bristol Bay. With many of us actually homeowners in Bristol Bay, we weren't notified of this, what's happening. I mean, it's right smack dab in the middle of our community, right kitty corner to our HOA. And he's actually the president of the HOA right now. Weren't notified of that, as well as the SSA. I know those were refinancing 2017, 2018. There's, you know, a couple concerns with what's going on, because within 250 feet, everyone who's within that development area needs to be notified, public notice as well as written notice. So in Antioch, the Deercrest is Deercrest, right? The rental, they're rental townhomes. So they're luxury rental townhomes. Concern is, are they going to turn into rentals right smack dab in the middle of our community? There's some things, of course, you know, want to make sure that, is HOA talking to them? Are they going to be involved with us? SSA, are they, you know, paying SSA? How's it going to impact, you know, the school? Of course, they'll get the impact fees for all the permits that they pull, but is it going to be enough? I know the original plan was planned for a specific amount of students, but there's also students that are coming over from Cannonball Drive, you know, other areas that weren't part of it. So just some things that I'm, you know, bringing up to, you know, a city council meeting. So I appreciate you guys letting me speak.
Absolutely. Thank you.
If you want me to address a couple of those.
Sure.
Yeah. So the final plat process doesn't require notification of surrounding property owners. So typically it comes in front of city council committee. They review it. As long as it's in line with what had been agreed to years prior, they're generally allowed to construct the same type of product and the same unit count that would have been previously agreed. So there are some other land use applications for zoning, replatting, things like that that would require public notices, direct letters, and everything else. From an internal perspective, I mean, the developer obviously can voluntarily notify the community, have a relationship with the HOA if he wants to, talk about what he's bringing to the table. In that regard, that's between the two entities, not necessarily for the city to be involved. As far as the SSA goes and questions about, you know, land use and what's going to occur, I've got my card marked. I'm the city administrator. I can give Chris this card too. Happy to address those after the meeting. And in the next coming days, so you guys have some answers as to, you know, what's going to occur there and when it's going to occur.
Yeah, certainly appreciate it. Yep. Especially the project's going real quick. I mean,
yep.
Right smack dab in the middle. You know, there's a lot more people that we also have to relay this information to as well. What's going on in the area and stuff like that. A lot of people, we have Facebook groups, you know, talking stuff. It's like, whoa, no one even knew.
Sure.
A lot of people didn't even know that SSA was refinanced and the abatement. You know, I moved in last year in June. I looked over all the documents. I used to do mortgages. I'm like, okay, these bonds are from way back when. Definitely should look into refinancing. There's already developed homes. When there's developed homes, it lowers the risk and, you know, higher credit and stuff like that. So it's, you know, better financially for the area. So and it certainly helps. Thank you for refinancing them, you know, lowering the rates. But looking at how it's going to impact us.
So, really,
yeah, it would be great to get rid of it. If there's more developments in the near future, possibly get rid of them or kind of what we can do.
Yeah, the city is not authorized in SSA primary, which is what you have, since I think probably this might have actually been one of the last developments. We've stricken it from our policies to allow, and I think it got brought up by one other developer subsequent to that, maybe in the 2008-2009 range, and we told them thanks. So I wouldn't anticipate that being an issue. As far as your individual lots go, there are opportunities where you can prepay, you know, and so we can set you up with our SSA administrator, walk you through those options too. The refinancing itself was done by the city, didn't require notice, but it did reduce your annual tax slightly.
Okay.
Within the same term.
And the new lots, like the townhomes, single family homes, those are also going to be part of the SSA, so they will be paying into it?
Yes, although the developer or the subsequent owner, whoever he sells to, has the ability to pay those off as well. So I have not checked unit 13 lots because that's new construction. I don't remember if those are part of the previous SSA bond.
No.
Okay. So
that's and I can fill in a few of the blanks. Unit 3, the townhomes, are currently paying the SSA taxes. Same levy as their administrative on an equal basis. Each lot is proportionally accounted for in the subdivision. In the community in Kenya that you mentioned, I did refinance $23 million of special service area funds there. It did reduce everybody's payment. when you have it kind of collapse in 07 or 08 and everything was really bad, there was not that opportunity. We were able to combine the two SSAs and insure them. So the interest rate, and I don't know, are you at 6%, 7%,
8%? I know, there's a lot of paperwork. But I know you also did the same thing with Gilbert's as well. Gilbert's
correct.
Had 1,100 lots, you ended up with 900, you added 200 lots. That uses HR Green as well, Kenya.
They did review Kenya.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But my engineers at Antioch is Manhunt Consulting. HR Green does the review. And I've worked with, and I'm building a clubhouse in Antioch that was promised 15 years ago and didn't get built.
Yeah.
I have been to many HOA meetings in Yorkville on a number of, usually I think it was for the condo association that I met with. I met with the Master Association, I think, a couple of times. I know it recently changed over about a year ago or so. We got a new management company. So I'll be happy to meet and talk about many of the issues. It is always positive to have more people paying into a system because you have a clubhouse that was designed to have 1,000 homes and you only have 500 homes paying into it. So that can proportionally reduce that. And
yeah.
I have thrown out no right.
And
that's 500,000 or whatever it was.
Also, financially being great there too. I mean, if we're able to work together, I mean,
I appreciate the opportunity to meet with and talk to.
Are
you
having rentals though, or is it?
The Unit 13, Ryan Holmes, I'm the developer of the property, so I put the underground improvements in. They built the house only, so I have to do the streets, the roads, everything else. And those will be, as far as I understand, for sale.
Can we wrap this up? You guys can, if you guys want to talk, I'll
talk. Sure.
We just want to wrap this up real quick, if you don't mind. Thank you, I appreciate it. Okay, so that wraps up EDC 2022-23. Do we have any old business that we need to discuss? Additional business? Yes, sir.
I'd like to speak about bringing something up on our next agenda before we want to just get back straight to council. That air chicks.
Oh boy.
Are we back?
Yes.
Are we going to start it again?
Let's start it again, absolutely. I think.
Are we doing another survey?
No survey. I think we have enough information. I think with reasonable legislation and with allowing people to do what's in their best interest without harming the community, I think it's something we should look at again, especially if it was in the
community.
Hey. Seems to have followed.
I knew someone in Batavia because they have the album in Batavia. The Hawks. They let them in mistake and let the things out. Hawks cleaned out the guy's whole bunch.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, chickens, is that what you said?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Oh, I didn't hear what he said.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. I don't care.
That's all I have. Let's bring that back.
All right. If that is all, then we will adjourn at 6:56.
Jackie, Chris brought it up.
Yeah.
Please mark that.
Still on recording.
Okay, thank you. I didn't know.
Yeah.